You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Energy drinks are omnipresent on college campuses, and so is alcohol. So what can happen when the two are mixed together? That's what Aradhana Krishna explored in new research into alcohol mixed with energy drinks. She is the Dwight F. Benton Professor of Marketing at the Ross School of Business at the University of Michigan. Pleasure to have you back on Stateside.
Oh, thank you, Cynthia.
So what questions were you looking to explore and answer with this study?
There's been a lot of research which has already been done on alcohol mixed with energy drinks. At one point, it was believed that energy drinks mask the effect of alcohol because energy drinks have a lot of caffeine. So when people drink energy drinks mixed with alcohol, they don't feel intoxicated. So the belief was that even though people were intoxicated, they were not feeling intoxicated because of the caffeine in the energy drinks, and that these people who were intoxicated but not feeling the effects would then become more sexually aggressive and more likely to have drunk driving accidents. But then later on, this theory was found to be incorrect because people found that there was not enough caffeine in the energy drinks to have this masking hypothesis. Yet, despite that fact, people kept finding that people who were consuming energy drinks were, in fact, being sexually more aggressive and being more risk-prone in their behaviors. So the question was, what is driving these effects? What is behind energy drinks mixed with alcohol causing these very sociably undesirable risk-prone behaviors? So that's what we were trying to look at.
And why did you think that was so important? What pointed you in this direction?
So what pointed us in this direction is the very high number of college students who, like, people are saying that more than 50% of college campus students are consuming alcohol mixed with energy drinks. And from surveys in college campuses, it is also well known that people who are drinking alcohol mixed with energy drinks are risk prone. So we started thinking, is there something else which is going on here? And then there was also this case against Red Bull, where there was a class action suit against Red Bull saying Red Bull does not give wings, so it's false advertising. And they looked at physiological effects. So does Red Bull really make people, smarter or physically better? And they found that that's not the case. So they lost the class action suit and a lot of money. But then all these studies, what we found, that the one thing that was missing was not physiological effects so much as psychological effects. So can energy drinks mixed with alcohol have psychological effects on consumers? So it's clearly got very, very big effects for college students and for public policy and for food policy institutes. But even from a more theoretical perspective, we found that it was interesting because people had not looked at psychological effects over here.
Being a professor of marketing, this is exactly what you look at. That's,
exactly, yeah. What we look at. So we were wondering whether advertising could have created expectancies and whether these expectancies could in turn be creating placebo effects. Let me elaborate. So what I'm saying is, so for example, Red Bull could be saying Red Bull gives you wings, or Monster can say unleash the monster in you. And so what these drinks tend to make college students think is that they somehow become more powerful, or they feel that if they mix it with alcohol, the alcohol becomes more potent. So that's the expectancy. So what we did was we did a study in Paris. And the reason we did it in Paris is also interesting. So there's a backstory to that. We know that college students have alcohol. They're not supposed to. They are under 21, but we know they have it. We wanted to actually do the experiment in the most realistic scenario possible. So we wanted to do it with college students. So we cannot get IRB approval for that within the US because we cannot give alcohol to students who are under 21. And again, we didn't want to give people drinks which were not alcoholic, but call it alcohol. So we wanted it as realistic as possible. So we did it in Paris, where alcohol is allowed below the age of 21. And so there we recruited males who, and we were very careful about following American procedures in terms of who we recruit. And these are people who are not, you know, in any sort of risk of alcohol-prone tendencies. So we did all the screening. And then we got males of the same BMI so that we could control for BMI. And then we gave all of them the same drink, which is vodka mixed with Red Bull mixed with fruit juice. And we gave them, let's say, the amount of alcohol which you would have with one daiquiri or one tequila.
Okay.
Then there were three groups of students, and one group was given the name of the alcohol was Red Bull Vodka Cocktail. A second group was given the name Vodka Cocktail, And the third group was called Cocktail Exotique. The only difference was in the name, but every group knew exactly what the drink contained. So they knew it contained alcohol and Red Bull and a fruit juice, which again replicates a bar situation where you know what your drink contains, but the bartender has complete flexibility in naming it whatever he wants.
So okay. It was the name that was important.
It's just the name.
Yes.
And then we were trying to see if just the name can lead to different levels of perceived intoxication. So the actual intoxication would be the same. It's the same amount of alcohol, and we measure blood alcohol content, and we in fact found that it was the same. But then if people are asked, how drunk are you feeling, we found that they felt more drunk when the cocktail was named Red Bull Vodka Cocktail.
So it was that name. It was injecting the name Red Bull that made the difference, not the alcohol.
Exactly. So it was injecting the name Red Bull that made the difference. And then we looked at behaviors and attitudes. For example, we measured financial risk-taking. Financial risk-taking was measured by a balloon task. So in this task, people are made to pump a balloon on the computer. So they are made to pump a balloon. And if the balloon becomes bigger, you get a certain amount of money, and you can put another pump and make it even bigger. But then if it bursts, you lose all your money. So if you're more risk prone, you will put in more pumps into that balloon. We were counting the number of pumps that they were putting in, and again, we found that people who were given the drink, which was named Red Bull Vodka Cocktail, were more financially risk seeking. They were also more sexually self-confident, which meant that when we showed them pictures of like 15 women, and five of them were, you know, pre-tested to be considered very attractive, and we asked them, would you hit on them, and do you think they would give you their phone number, they seemed to be more confident that they would get the phone number of this person and also be more likely to hit on them.
And again, these are the guys that were drinking the Red Bull and vodka drink. They had the Red Bull.
So these were the people who were, they were given exactly the same drink as the others, but the name of the cocktail that they were given was Red Bull Vodka Cocktail.
So we're talking marketing. Why is this, do you think?
We also measured people's beliefs on how much do they believe that energy drinks increase the potency of alcohol. And we also measured their beliefs on how much does being drunk make people more risk prone, for example. And we found that it was these expectancies which were driving behavior, which means that people who believe to a larger extent that energy drinks make you more intoxicated are the people who feel more intoxicated and are more likely to have those risk-prone behaviors, which is actually really interesting because from a public policy standpoint, what we are trying to say is so far, the policies have been looking at physiological effects. And what we are saying is they should be looking at psychological effects. What they should be focusing on is, should companies be able to advertise in a manner that creates these expectancies from the drinks? And people should be much more careful about that sort of advertising.
That takeaway then, controlling the marketing message related to these energy drinks. What more questions now has this raised for you?
Broadly speaking, you know, it's a bigger issue conceptually in the sense of what kind of placebo effects can there be? So this is a marketing placebo effect. It's just the naming. This opens up a whole slew of questions up there, like what other kinds of placebo effects can marketing stimuli create? What are the other kinds of things that people should be looking at, which could be psychological drivers of behavior and not just physiological drivers? So again, from a public policy perspective, what can people be looking at?
Aradhana Krishnan is marketing professor at the Ross School of Business, and her research on alcohol, her study on alcohol mixed with energy drinks, can be found in the Journal of Consumer Psychology. Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you.